The following programming is sponsored by
MBC Media.
The views expressed do not necessarily reflect this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here. When you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you.
And good afternoon, Philadelphia. Welcome back to the Conservative Voice on WWDB. This is your host, Gary Heasley. I'm in the studio with Ada once again. Ada, welcome back.
Hello. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. I think this is going to be an interesting, this is going to be a great show.
It's going to be fun. It's going to move fast.
Last week was fun. That was fascinating.
Yes.
And having Victor Davis Hanson was great. I mean, Alex Newman really shocked people. I mean, his what he had to say was really, enlightening to a lot of folks. So this week, what we're going to do, we got a lot to cover in the first half hour, and then we're going to go to a rancher. Because for folks that aren't in the cattle business or haven't been paying attention to this, there's been this sort of what I call the beef war of 2025. And it's Donald Trump came out and made a comment about importing beef from Argentina, and that was seized upon by a lot of people that are opposed to the American agenda and turned into an anti-America first, anti-MAGA kind of thing. Of course, it's not. And so we dug into it a bit. We spent some time looking at it. We've talked about it in town halls now. We've talked about it on the radio a little bit. But we're going to bring a rancher in, fifth-generation guy, who I've been going back and forth with on this, and I think it's going to be illuminating. But when you look at this situation with the cattle and beef industry, you really see a microcosm that explains small business. It explains what's happened as the government overreach has come and totally transformed industries, made things in unprofitable. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go through some of that today. So we're going to have a rancher on. I'm looking forward to this a lot. We've not had him on before. Then we're going to switch over, and we're going to have on E.J. Antoni.
Now, we missed him. We're so happy. I mean, we're happy. We're sad that it didn't work out with his nomination process,
right,
but we're thrilled that we got him back. So,
yes,
you know, it's a lose-win for us,
it,
I guess.
It kind of is. You know, I mean, we had that period where he wasn't available, and Heritage gave us another guy who was great.
Yes.
We had a great economist come in.
Yep.
They have really deep resources. I mean, we're very fortunate to be able to tap into that.
And we're working on some big news from Heritage. Our amazing folks behind the scenes,
yeah,
really working on getting some big guests from Heritage.
Yeah.
So stay tuned.
It's going to be interesting to see where we go with this. But
yeah,
this Heritage thing has been fabulous. And so EJ was tapped to be the Bureau of Labor Statistics director. He went into the confirmation process, and lo and behold, he didn't get confirmed. We'll go into it more when he gets on the air. But I think it's another thing that is sort of a microcosm that explains exactly what's going on in government.
It's right, the usual suspects, too. It's the Murkowskis and the Collins who refuse to get on board with the America First agenda.
Well, they are obviously not on Team America or Republican. They are clearly just hired.
Yep.
Somebody owns them. And then at 1:30, we're going to have back Scott Perry. Now, we're on day 31 of the lockdowns. Day 31. It's interesting because the lives of everyday Americans haven't changed much. Now, of course, there are hundreds of thousands of folks that aren't getting a paycheck, and that's kind of a problem. That's going to be an issue. But now we're getting to November 1st, where these EBT SNAP payments don't come. So folks that count on the federal government to buy their groceries every month are going to turn to that federal government number, and it's not there. The states aren't stepping up. So
Some states are. Conservative
but
states.
It's going to be really hard for states to fund this.
Oh, sure.
The numbers are huge.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk a bit about the lockdown and the shutdown and what it means and what the plan is going forward. As you know, Scott Perry is a Republican from Pennsylvania. He's from sort of, I think, around like the Harrisburg area, if you will, or that region. And he's a member of the Freedom Caucus in the U.S. House. So, you know, he is one of the small number of Republicans or members of Congress that lean into the fight on behalf of the country. So we're excited to have him. So this is going to be a great show. And for those that are paying attention to the calendar, happy Halloween. Now, you know, I will tell you, we brought in a new engineer in the booth today who is going to be helping us out, and we're looking forward. Now, I don't know exactly how that's going to go, because at some point he may just snap and we may have a problem in the room, right?
Hey.
That is a scary looking dude.
So, I thought about dressing up, but decided against it. I'll dress up when I get home.
And I'm just wearing my normal costume, you know, because frankly, you know, it's about as creative as I get on clothing.
Listen, for me, this is just the eve of my Christmas celebrations. I understand that most people really frown against the decorating for Christmas holidays on November 1st, but I actually just don't care anymore. And I'm decorating November 1st. That's when we're going to start decking the halls at my house. So, you know, we're not skipping Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving gets its own day in November, a whole day. It's
right.
A Thursday. We're going to celebrate the heck out of Thanksgiving. But for all of the other days in November, we'll be celebrating Christmas at my house. So
you start early and go at it hard.
And I go late, too. I stay until February. It just makes everything better as far as I'm concerned. So that's what we're doing at my house.
That's great. Uh-huh. Now, for those that want to follow us and are wondering how, WWDB has an app that you can download to your Android or Apple phone. It's really easy to click on and listen live. That is really simple if you're not within Philadelphia. The easiest way, of course, is to turn on an AM radio to 860 in Philadelphia.
Yep.
But many of our listeners are in other parts of the state, other states, other, some of them are fairly distant. And so they're listening either on the app or on the website. But you can also catch us on X, Facebook, and Rumble, where we live stream. Now, on X, we are TC Voice WWDB. That's at TC Voice WWDB. So you can go find us on X. You can go to our Facebook page, the Conservative Voice Facebook page, and you can find our channel on Rumble as well. So if you want to watch us do that now on replays, after the show, we put up the audio clips on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. So we are trying to be everywhere you are. We just want to make it easy for you to listen in, because some folks can't listen 12 to 2 on a weekday, right? So we're up on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Those are typically posted by 10 or noon on Saturday. Depends on how long it takes to get things processed. But you know, follow us where you can. So the other thing that's really important, which we've talked about a lot, is voting. So Tuesday is Election Day. And, you know, it is distressing to me that many voters don't really think it matters, because there's no president. The media is not really getting on it that much. They're talking about, you know, governor races in Virginia and in Jersey. But they really aren't talking about these local races. But
no.
There are fantastic candidates for township supervisors in a lot of townships right now. I mean, people that have incredibly good skill sets, that are very well prepared to be in that role, who actually aren't corrupt. And you know, if you start looking at townships, you start asking the question, where's the money go? Not that every township guy is corrupt or every township. No, I'm not saying that. But these townships are spending more and more and more money. They are raising taxes relentlessly. They're adding income taxes where they never had one before. And it's just like the school boards, the counties, and the state. They're just ravenous in this appetite for an endless supply of your cash. And they don't think there should be a limit. In other words, they think it would be reasonable to raise taxes every year. If you talk to, you know, municipal or county officials or even state officials, many of them believe they should be raising taxes every year. Like, well, wait a minute. At what point do you get to 100%?
Right.
At what point have you taken it all?
And we saw a massive increase through the COVID years, too, like the federal grants that were given to all of these townships and counties. And they built up, you know, their staffing, their services and everything to capture that money, to make sure they could use that money.
Yep.
But then when that money fell off and ran out, we now have staff we can't pay. So how do they make up the difference? They increase our taxes. They don't reevaluate the increased staff or the amount of money that they've been spending without concern for how everyone else is living. They just tax us more to cover it instead of reducing the spending.
You know, we looked at Delaware, Chester, and Montgomery County. Montgomery County has doubled its taxes in 10 years. In 10 years, they've doubled their property taxes. In Chester County, taxes went up this year 14%.
Yeah.
But the property taxes they're collecting only cover 35% of their budget. The rest of it is fees, and that's a small amount, and then a massive amount of grants. And where's this money going?
Yep.
You know, they've got like $160 million that disappears into a community called providers, and no one seems to know what they provide. Mm-hmm. It is a really dangerous thing for voters to not pay attention to their school boards, their townships, and their counties, but they don't. So what we're asking is that if you're listening right now, or if you're listening to this us later on Apple Podcast or Spotify, go call some friends that you know are registered voters and get them to the polls. Now, the reason we say vote at the polls, well, first of all, it's too late to fiddle around with these mail-in ballots, right? So this mail-in ballot thing is done. Now people are trying to chase the ballots, and they're trying to get collect some of the ballots in that have been out and all this. But it is the most complicated way you could possibly vote. I don't understand how the story got perverted into it's really easy to vote by mail. It's expensive.
If you look at the budgets for these voter services departments in the different counties and what they spent prior to this whole Act 77 mail-in ballot thing in Pennsylvania, you're light night and day difference. I mean, it is just more expensive to do it this way. Why are we doing it this way? There are concerns. There's potential fraud. There are issues with the system, and it costs more. Literally, what are we doing here?
Right. And the issues with the system. So then they added satellite offices in a lot of counties.
Right.
I think it is Westmoreland County in western Pennsylvania that has, I don't remember the number, but I think it's more than 10. I mean, I don't, they have a lot of satellite offices. There are a few in Chester County, other counties have. I think it's Montgomery County has a mobile unit that drives around to pick up ballots. Here's the problem. The internal controls around those units are zero.
Right.
They don't have internal controls. So the normal control process that you see when you go to a precinct and vote in person, that is out the door.
Yep.
So in 2020, when Trump won and somehow 81 million votes showed up, they did a survey in Florida, and they saw that one in five, 20% of their ballots that were voted by mail were fraudulent.
Yeah.
One in five.
Yeah.
So they rewrote their election laws to tighten up controls. They didn't get rid of mail-in ballots, unfortunately, but they tightened it up. Pennsylvania, on the other hand, has gone the other way. By using this Governor Shapiro move to get people registered at the motor vehicles and wherever else they can, and then they're just sending these out. I had a guy tell me the other day that his son, I'm going to try to get this right, his son hasn't lived with him for, I don't know, 10 years or something, or 20 years. He got three mail-in ballots for his kid.
I saw that, yeah.
Right?
Right.
So, these things are inherently insecure.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the other problem. A lot of the people that are voting by mail are what they call low propensity voters. These are people that don't vote often.
And so they're not heavily informed on the issues and the people that they're voting for.
Yeah, they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
So who do they hear from last? Well, they hear from whoever's running the ad on Facebook, whoever's running the ad online, the Google ads.
What happened in Lancaster with those low propensity mail-in ballots?
So we were talking to some folks at the town hall. We did this town hall on Thursday night. We went through data centers and we went through, urban sprawl and the way these townships are being consumed. And the only people that stand in the way are these township supervisors.
Right.
Like, they're the last line of defense, because your county in this county, in many of these counties that are controlled by Democrats, they're not going to stop anything. It's just, they have a different view of the world. They want urbanization everywhere.
They sure do.
So, you can't count on the county. The state, is not particularly helpful. I mean, the state legislature is not, a reliable source. So your last line of defense are your township supervisors. And if you don't have the right ones, you better get them on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Because these data centers are popping up everywhere. And look at the big investment. At what cost to the community? At what cost to your power bill? What's it going to do to your water supply?
Yeah, the water is a big issue that's really coming up right now. I was not aware of the water issues. I think the ChatGPT is related to Georgia. And every time people are using ChatGPT, like Google, and apparently every time you look something up on ChatGPT, someone else in Georgia can't shower. So, we have to figure it out. We've got to do something. First of all, don't use ChatGPT like Google. Use Google for Google,
Yes.
Side note.
But if you look at the water consumption, the Environmental and Energy Study Institute, right? I mean, these are climate nuts, right? These people are, terrified of carbon.
We do have to touch on Bill Gates.
We'll get that in a second.
Okay, good. Sorry. Gary and I haven't spoken about the news of the week.
Yeah. They did the math and came back and said that large data centers can consume 5 million gallons of water per day.
Wow.
And people say, well, how is that? Because they're always told it's a closed loop system. Well, there's an evaporation cooling element. The cooling towers are evaporating. So you're losing millions and millions of gallons a day that they're pumping into the system to keep refilling it. People don't realize that it's a massive water draw. So that puts strain on your water system. we're already seeing massive increases of power costs. We went through this at the town hall the other night. The cost to deliver your power. So there's a power delivery cost, then there's the actual cost of generating power that's in your electricity bill. The cost to deliver that has gone up dramatically because there's an auction every year where people in across these states, so there are, you know, call it 12 states, I think 12, 13 states involved in what's called PJM, the market that is the distribution unit or distribution system for power in this region. And so the auction between 24 and 25, the cost of distribution went up 833%. So it's an open auction, and people say, well, I'm going to bid to get distribution for my power generation company or my community. 833% increase in distribution cost. Now, the generation cost is also going up because they're adding so much demand. And you can add some infrastructure, try to beef up the grid a bit. But until they start up Three Mile Island again, which Microsoft is going to do, they've done some upgrades on the hydroelectric units on the Susquehanna River to feed some of this. But they're not in any way generating enough capacity to offset all the coal plants that they killed, these same people killed. And so we are seeing massive demand for power. So when you look at what it does to a community, your last line of defense are your township supervisors. So if you've got to get out to vote on Tuesday and figure out which of these township supervisors might actually be interested in helping the community and which of them are the sort of the old school supervisors who have too close a relationship with the engineering companies and the law firms and, you know, they're working on the other side. So Tuesday is critical. And so, you know, again, we say vote easy. And we went through this the other day. What they did this year is they set up a polling place in your precinct, just minutes from your home, staffed with volunteers and county people. And there's a judge of elections at every one that oversees the process to make sure the controls are working. They've got observers that come from both political parties, Democrat and Republican, sometimes even like a Green Party or, you know, the Libertarians will have someone there. So there's oversight. You walk up, there's a person typically standing there, maybe a precinct committee person or a volunteer.
I'll be there.
I'll be at polls all day on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. But they're answering your questions and they're explaining what's going on. So, you know, this thing like this judge retention issue, people keep saying,
very convoluted.
You got to vote no on retention.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, I don't think voters understand. What voters know is that I go to the polls and I vote for candidate A or candidate B. Well, no, in this case, you're voting to not retain someone who's already in. It's very confusing.
Yep.
But if you go to the precinct, there'll be someone standing at the table outside the door, at a table nearby, who can answer the question, what is this retention? Who should I vote for? What are the nature of these various candidates? You know, it's a confusing thing. So I'm saying get your friends to the polls on Tuesday. A small incremental increase in turnout will have a massive increase or impact on the outcome of the race.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
You touched on
Bill Gates. Oh, my gosh. Can I just read his statement real quick? Because our entire world has been changed by this irrational idea that humans were causing climate change and we were all going to die a fiery death, okay?
Right.
Like Al Gore told
10
us.
10 years ago. We were going to die 10 years ago.
Right. Al Gore assured us that this is what was coming. And Bill Gates was on board with this, okay? Bill Gates this week. There's a doomsday view of climate change that goes like this. In a few decades, cataclysmic climate change will decimate civilization. The evidence is all around us. Just look at all the heat waves and storms caused by rising global temperatures. Nothing matters more than limiting the rise in temperature. He goes on to say, fortunately for all of us, this view is wrong. Wow, really? Oh my gosh.
The view that he drove.
Yeah, right? Although climate change will have serious consequences, particularly for people in the poorest countries, it will not lead to humanity's demise. People will be able to live and thrive in most places on Earth for the foreseeable future. Emissions projections have gone down, and with the right policies and investments, innovation will allow us to drive emissions down much further. That's Bill Gates now, ladies and gentlemen. So the taxes we were paying, they must have worked. The Green New Deal, it must have worked because the crisis is now past us.
Surrendering the freedom to buy the car you want, to build the power plants that make sense. It turns out as soon as this guy needs energy, as soon as his AI domination goal is coming oh, well, that we could set aside the carbon scare, mm-hmm. and we're just going to go with this new thing. We need all the power we can get. So right. we lied to you for 25, 30 years.
Energy is good. No energy is bad.
Right.
We were just joking about global right. climate change. Our bad.
Yeah, it was a mistake.
It's just no big deal.
Of course,
closed all of your power plants in Europe. You cannot get energy in Europe without tapping Russia, who you claim to be opposed to. So I don't know. Oops.
Germany just tore down another perfect
fine.
Nuclear unit.
Yes. Yeah.
Just tore it down.
Yep.
So I texted somebody in Germany. I said, they won't stop attacking your country. He said, no, they won't. Yep. They're lunatics and they're destroying Germany. Mm-hmm. Germany has always had a very robust manufacturing base. Well, that needs power. They have consistently taken away the low-cost, high-reliability baseload and replaced it with high-cost, low-reliability, intermittent supply. And so the German manufacturing is in dire straits.
Yeah.
The cost of power in Germany's gone up. So this guy, he moved, and he moved to a new apartment in a new town. He ends up buying an electric car. He told me, I can't afford to buy a gas car. The taxes and the incentives are such that the difference is it doesn't make sense. So he buys an electric car. He gets to his apartment, this new apartment. They say, well, listen, I need a charger. Like, oh, sorry, the government's already allocated as many of those as there can be. You're going to have to just use chargers wherever you can find them. He said, wait a minute. You forced me to buy an electric car, but now I can't get a charger?
Yeah.
No, you can't have a charger. Sorry. The government decides whether or not you can get a charger that you have to have to drive your battery car, and they wouldn't let him have it. So he's, out driving around at night, sitting in his car at some place trying to charge it up.
I think we need to readjust our perspective, actually, Gary. I think it's time for us to reevaluate how we look at these situations. Look. We had the No Kings protest, the second one, a couple weeks ago, and we don't have a king here now. So
it worked.
It worked. We had the Green New Deal, and we shut down all these power plants all over the world, and we stopped the cows from farting somehow, and it worked. Now we don't have to worry about climate change. It's amazing. It's amazing. These people are real problem solvers.
That's got to be it, because... The great and mighty Bill Gates, who deemed himself to be king of the world.
Dr. Bill Gates.
This guy, it's incredible. Now, there is a critical race on Tuesday in Virginia.
Yes.
Now, Glenn Youngkin has been the governor there for a couple of years, and now it's Winsome Earl Sears.
And Abby.
Against this woman named Spanberger.
Abby Spanberger. She's such a lovely, lovely lady.
Now, Winsome Earl Sears is like a hardcore conservative.
Yes.
She's serious. You can see it on her. When she's talking, she's real, right?
She's authentic. And she's the current lieutenant governor.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. She's got perfect experience.
Exactly.
She's totally tuned up, ready to go. Now, Spanberger, on the other hand, where did she come from? Well, that would be the Central Intelligence Agency.
So weird how they all popped up between 2018 and 2025.
It is strange mm-hmm. how this happened.
Weird.
Like Slotkin, I think it is, in Congress.
Alyssa.
Shows up out of nowhere, and suddenly she's giving the counter to Donald Trump's address to joint member of session of Congress.
And here's some inside baseball that maybe not everyone is aware of. But once CIA, always CIA. Retired CIA? No. New assignment. Sorry.
Well, that,
so
that is a consistent real. That is a consistent comment that I hear a lot of places.
Uh-huh.
So Winsome,
true.
Winsome Sears is a solid conservative against. So it's really CIA versus conservative, mm-hmm. and of course the polls that everyone's looking at, most of which are fake, are showing the CIA ahead. Now. I haven't seen a poll yet that I've looked at. So, I mean, I haven't looked into this enough to know if there's a legitimate poll yet. I haven't seen Mark at Rasmussen do anything. I don't think they've polled this race. At least I haven't seen it.
I have to reach out now.
So I haven't done enough work on this probably, but I'm guessing that the polls are wrong again. And if they could just get turnout among conservatives out there, I think Winsome Earl Sears has great support in the community. I think the real voters that actually exist would vote for. I don't know what they're going to do with mail-in ballots because hopefully Glenn Youngkin has got some kind of control over the election system, so it's going to be accurate. This is going to be an interesting fight.
It's an interesting race, too, because we have the Obamas of the world, out there saying, you're a terrible person if you don't support Spanberger. But last year, he was telling everyone that you were racist and sexist if you didn't support Kamala. Well, Earl Sears is a black woman. She would be the first black female governor of Virginia. and Obama's working against her. It's such an oddity. It's right. So weird. And I think I've coined the phrase media-induced amnesia, and I'm going to write a whole book about the media-induced amnesia that so many people clearly suffer from, because those same people that think Obama's being just sincere and, you know, Abby Spanberger is just the better candidate, they literally just forget what Obama was saying 6 months ago.
Right.
Like, it's the craziest thing to watch happen over and over and over again.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you take someone like Winston Earl Sears and you would label somebody like that now a white supremacist.
Right.
I mean, you know, and so you've got this. So it's CIA versus conservative, and we got to see what happens here. Big race in New Jersey as well.
Yeah.
And you know, that looks like it's tight, and we don't know exactly where that is going to land.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously it's a real fight. There's, I think there are a lot of resources being dispensed down there, over there.
It's looking good so far. I saw some numbers today, and I don't remember them exactly, but I guess the Republican Jack has a slight lead over the in-person early voting.
Mm-hmm.
Mickey has a lead in the mail-in ballot returns, but that they're expecting Jack to have an overwhelming performance on in-person voting on Election Day. So, you know, it does actually look to be a competitive race. I'm hoping mm-hmm. it ends up that way, because New Jersey, I think, will really benefit if Mom Dami wins in New York City, which it does appear that he is going to.
Oh, it does.
New Jersey will benefit. All those businesses would leave New York City and potentially come to Pennsylvania and New Jersey nearby, close by. You'd have the people who are fleeing New York City, because contrary to popular belief, socialism doesn't actually work. So it's going to be an interesting thing to watch unfold in New York City. And I have to say, I'm done trying to warn people away from the consequences of their own actions. I'm very excited to see what happens in New York City now.
It is going to be really interesting. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's going to be what it is.
Yeah. If this is the path you want to go down, we'll watch with, rapt attention.
It's true. But I got to say, in defense of the people that are voting for this lunatic,
their options.
How much different is he going to be than the people they've already had? The corrupt, you know, I mean, Wernher von de Blasio, you know, you had, I mean, just a string of governors that are radical. The last guy, Eric Adams, tried to take a stand against illegal immigration because it was crushing his city. So they put him under criminal investigations and dumped him.
Yeah.
I mean, he stepped outside that narrative for just a second and boom, they were on him. And so it is a city where costs are out of control. People can't afford living. Their jobs are disappearing in a lot of places, a lot of ways for normal people. You know, they are struggling to live this city life that they saw in Sex and the City. It's not there for them. And they see that everybody connected to the city government is making huge amounts of money. Where's my piece? They got
right.
People that spend, you know, there's one apartment that's in a tower there. A guy spent $35 million renovating his apartment. The guy down on the street down below can't figure out how to pay for his Uber, can't get a taxi,
right.
You know? So to the extent that the system is failing these people, they're now saying, all right, your system doesn't work. And they think we have a capitalist system. They have no idea that we lost capitalism years ago. So they think it's a capitalist system. That doesn't work. I'm going to try this commie, right? And of course, then there's a lot of manipulation behind the scenes. So I think one of the problems is that, for example, the Republicans in Congress that have refused to endorse or to legislate the America First agenda, refused. Well, I think they're part of the problem here.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, look, we voted for you. We put you into Congress. We gave you all three legs of the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
And all you tell us is you can't do anything because you're afraid that the Democrats are going to give a long speech.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's lunacy.
Let them filibuster. Who cares?
Yeah.
Make them filibuster. Make them filibuster until their vocal cords are raw.
Yeah.
You know, no. Oh, we're afraid of the filibuster. We can't do anything. We can't unless, by the way, you do the big, beautiful bill, in which case we need about $5 trillion in ransom. So I'm telling you, I think this is crazy what New York is doing. It's even crazier that this guy became a candidate that was legitimate, that was able to win a primary in any circumstance. But it's the failure of the system to serve its citizens. It's the refusal of the federal and state and local governments to be responsive to their people that is driving the opportunity for a lunatic like Mamdani.
I think it's also a delusional population. I think there's a lot of delusion out there as to what is acceptable and not acceptable in terms of how you're living in your early 20s. I mean,
right.
You know, I couldn't afford much in my early 20s. I posted the other day, there's an entire like genre of TV shows that primarily focused on the young 20s living together roommate type, you know, environment, yeah. The living. So I'm not really sure why we're pretending like it's not abnormal for people to need roommates or to live at home in their early careers and all
that's
of
true.
This. Like that's,
no, that's
just
right.
Part of life.
But we've projected to these people lifestyles that they can never aspire to
yeah.
achieve. They don't see it for them. They don't see it happening. And it's not just true in Manhattan. It's true around the country. You talk to people that are 25 to 35 and just listen to them talk about their employment opportunities, what's happening inside corporations, the fact that their wages don't keep up with inflation, so they're having a hard time getting ahead.
But no one's do at this point, really.
It's also true yeah. of them, though. So now these guys are looking at it saying, okay, the boomer's sitting here on fat stacks in a 401k. He's got a pension plan. I got nothing, and I can't save any money. I've seen on television and social media these lifestyles that are so incredibly extraordinary, people flying around in private jets and driving exotic cars. I can't get any of that. It is absolutely the case that we have built up an expectation in these kids that is not achievable to them and that the system has not served them. Just as if you go into a school district, like in Downingtown, a woman sued this school system for 4 years to see their DEI materials.
Right.
Now, she had to sue them to have the school system show her what they gave her children.
We've had her on before.
Right? She was here, yeah. Ann Trethewey.
Mm-hmm.
She finally got to see some the other day. It was a joke.
Yeah.
She didn't see any of the stuff she was supposed to see.
Right.
They violate the law, then sue to defend the violation yeah. of the law for 4 years. That is a government that's not only not being responsive, it's at war with its parents. And that's a school board.
Yeah.
Imagine the corruption in New York. So I'm not saying that these kids are making a good decision. They're these voters. I think it's largely younger people. What I'm saying is I don't think we've given them good choices. So the system has failed them.